Grace and peace, friends, and welcome to the Uniting Brethren podcast, the trailer. The Lutheran Ken trailer. What? All right. I'm calling this the Lutheran Canon trailer because, Uniting Brethren is a podcast in the confessional evangelical Catholic tradition that will be surveying both the Lutheran and corresponding English Reformation, the development of each tradition's confessional identity, and how others in both the Lutheran and Anglican tradition have interpreted their articles over the years. So, just for example, we'll survey the Oxford movement and the more evangelical Calvinistic wing of the Church of England, Lutheran Pietism and Lutheran Confessionalism, and how it has affected the historic evangelical Lutheran Church. And with these things in mind, I'll be taking aback what it means to be evangelical, Catholic, and Reformed, because I'm sure you already know these terms have lost their meaning and have become more or less pejoratives in the modern Christian Church. And not only that, but they're not widely accepted in either the confessional Lutheran or continuing Anglican traditions either. And that, I believe, is due to a lack of understanding in terms of Reformation history and what these terms specifically mean, where they got their meaning from, their origins, their etymology. Now, mind you, there are those who have embraced them, and I applaud those saints for their historic and etymological meaning, but then there are those that recognize and begrudge how they've been co-opted and misused and abused in the American church in more modern or postmodern times, depending on how you feel about the terms modern or postmodern. Now, originally when I started this podcast, it was under another name, the Eastern Front Podcast, and I was in a quite different place than I am now. The fact is, I wanted sincerely to talk about the commonalities between the Anglican Church and the Coptic and Ethiopian Tawahedo Church of the East. And do forgive me for never quite getting that off the ground. It's due to the fact that I was met with way too many roadblocks, and that a lot of Eastern literature, especially from Eastern theologians and what have you, is obviously not in the English vernacular. And clearly, I'm a layman. I can barely read Latin and Greek, let alone a Coptic or Arabic writings. So that was quite a bust, unfortunately, though I recognize a lot of listeners stuck with me. Praise God for that, and I thank you all for your listenership. Then much later on, I wanted to attempt to do something ecumenical, in that I recognize there are Orthodox and conservative Christians from different traditions. That is, there are conservative Greek Orthodox Christians, there are conservative As I said, Coptic and Tawahedo are Ethiopian Christians. There are Lutherans and Presbyterians and even Baptists that could truly meet in the middle, so to speak. But then I also came to the conclusion, despite said conservatism, and even despite said orthodoxy, theologically speaking, there's an awful lot of baggage here in those regards, and I'm no prophet or preacher, so that for me was quite a humbling, let's say, recognition that there was no way for me, as a layman, to do such things without divine providence truly leading me through. However, though, for those of you who may know me or not, I know I came into the ancient Anglican tradition through, interestingly enough, my Duke Divinity School alumni pastor, United Methodist pastor, introducing the congregation to the Book of Common Prayer. But then, of course, lockdowns took place, and quite unfortunately, my parish had to close and has still not opened. But if you've followed me and my journey at all, or if not, I swam the Tiber, so to speak, right? So I was heading for the Roman Catholic Church even before this time, after wrestling in that congregation, and swam right back. But not to the Anglican or even Methodist tradition, but instead at this time, into the Evangelical Lutheran Church. However, much to my dismay, with a lot of wrestling and struggling, the United Methodist Church, the Episcopal Church, and the ELCA, that is the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, are all pretty much sides of the same coin in that each body is pretty much on the same page, none of which is orthodox, traditional, or confessional. And we can witness that on full display online, especially on the cesspool called Twitter, with tolerant, loving Christians going after Father Steve Macias. Yes, Father Steve Macias, if you know him online, he's a great saint and a great priest in the Reformed Episcopal Church. But they were going after Father Steve Macias for being faithful to his calling and being faithful to sacred scripture, even using pretty vulgar language that I would not say, let's just say it's not stained glass language. I will, however, in putting the best construction on my journey, say that each of these mainline bodies pointed me or directed me on a trajectory to truly study what confessional Lutheranism and Orthodox Anglicanism. And it just so turns out, despite some commentary from pretty popular LCMS pastors on YouTube, that there is truly an awful lot of common ground here between these two ancient Catholic traditions, if only we'd be a little more humble and charitable, and if only we put our best construction on each other. By that I mean, you know, we could talk past each other all we want, and that seems to be all people do these days, but truly, there is a lot of common ground between these two ancient Catholic traditions. So, albeit I am in the Lutheran Brethren Church now, which may not be seen as confessional or a confessional Lutheran body, I do believe I can shed a lot of light on said common ground, on said commonalities, on said mutual orthodoxy between these two Catholic and later Reformational traditions and bodies, with an aim of being evangelical, Catholic, and classically Reformed. Because again, I believe we're not so different, you and I. That is, I don't only think, but it is factual to say that historic Lutheran divines, such as Philip Melanchthon, really played a vital role in the English Reformation in terms of inspiring in correspondences with Archbishop Thomas Cranmer. Now, we'll get more into that on later episodes, but just for a brief layout, we'll be going through the church history, the confessionalism, such as is found in the Book of Concord and the documents surrounding it, as well as the history and development of the 39 Articles of Religion from their earlier 10 articles, right? So some people may not even know that when this correspondence and this inspiration and this whole English Reformation was getting off the ground, there were only 10 articles of religion, and they just developed and were revised and theologized over time, as well as other documents surrounding that. And we'll just go from there, back and forth and everything in between. And so I welcome you all to join me on my continued journey with Christ our Lord and His church in mind. With Christ our Lord, I should say, and His church in mind. As always, this has been Uniting Brethren Podcast on Anchor FM, and this is the Lutheran Ken trailer. Ken a Lutheran Ken? You tell me. Ken an Anglo-Lutheran? We shall see. And now we've pretty much gone off the rails, so please subscribe and follow the podcast on Twitter at Uniting Brethren. Thank you all for listening. Please subscribe and please follow us as we go through this journey together.
Fields like just before.